Good morning. Today's daf in Nidos, daf Samech Zayin. Okay, we're back on Samech Vav Amud Aleph, just in terms of schedule. We are learning today, I guess. I'm here. You're here. We're learning tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to learn at 4:30 in the afternoon. Minchas at 6 o'clock. We're going to go for an hour and a half. What we look to accomplish tomorrow is not only catch up, but also get a little bit ahead. Sunday there's not going to be a daf. Sunday's Tisha B'Av. It's a nidche, but still Tisha B'Av. So Sunday we're not going to learn. So that leaves us then just Monday of next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Wednesday night, I don't know if I made a big deal about this. In fact, I probably haven't. I probably am very understated about this. But Wednesday night here at the shul, they're going to be broadcasting the Siyum HaShas. Siyum HaShas is taking place at Giant Stadium, MetLife Stadium. And the program is going to be broadcast here at the shul of the evening. And minchas at 7 o'clock. I don't know when the broadcast is actually going to begin, but minchas at 7 o'clock. So come 7, come 7:30. Okay, and everyone's invited. Okay. So that's something to look forward to. Personally, I'm not going to be here Wednesday night. I'm gonna be at the Giant Stadium. So I'm not going to be here Wednesday, and I'm not going to be here Thursday. So what's going to happen those days in terms of the Daf Yomi, we'll figure it out. I mean, we're far away from that. Really, it's like so far away. So we'll figure it out Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday I'll be back. Friday I'll be back for the beginning of Bracha. So though I say I'd be back, but I'm going to go on a road trip not that shortly after. So. But brachas, I'm sure somebody will fill in for me. Everyone's replaceable, and certainly I am as well. So somebody will fill in for me while I'm gone. Okay, Samech Zayin. So when Samech Vav Amud Aleph, so we talked yesterday about a woman who unfortunately was bleeding every time she had tashmish with her husband, and we talked about possible solutions for the woman, trying out a new husband, trying out possibly a third husband, and other possible solutions for such a woman. And then the Gemara gave us a couple of anecdotal stories about women who were bleeding excessively. So we said over two stories yesterday. One, we found a solution for. No, I say we. I'm taking credit. So one of the Amorayim found a solution for. Another Amara did not find a solution for, and we're a couple more stories we're going to cover right now, and then we're going to get to some really meaty matter of the Masechta. Hahid asla kamed de Rabbi Yochanan. See where I am? I'm right in the middle of the Amud Samech Vav Amud Aleph. It's the last word in the line is the word Ahahi. The first word in the line is V'chol. It's right in the middle of the page. The Gemara says like this: Hayid asa kamen to Rabbi Yochanan. So a woman came in front of Rabbi Yochanan. The cholaimas da havasaka mitvilas mitzvah havas kachaz yedama. So she experienced a really terrible problem in that after having come up from the mikvah every single time she sees blood. So obviously, yeah, I know. There are other Gemaras that talk about how Rabbi Yochanan sat in the front of the mikvahs. Okay, where's that Gemara? Brachos? I think it's in Brachos. Okay, so anyway, so the okay, that's obviously a really terrible problem. I mean, the whole point of toveling in the mikvah is that she become tahora to her husband, and now upon ascension from the mikvah, she now becomes tamea immediately again, and that's a serious problem. Amar lei, so Rav Yochanan says, I think I know what the problem is. Shema dimas irecha alta bech. Perhaps dimas irecha. Difficult word to translate. Rashi says, "Benos irecha shayumit kanos bech bechiba shebeinech labalech dima lashon liu." So Rashi translates the words dima as laz, meaning people are chattering about you. The ladies of the community are very jealous of you, explains Rashi, because you and your husband seem to be getting along, and you know. You seem to be exceedingly getting along with your husband, and it stirs jealousy, and with jealousy comes the Ayin Hara. So Rav Yochanan says, I think the issue over here is an issue of Ayin Hara. L'chivi ba'liya lo al gabe hanar. So he gives advice, somewhat unusual advice. He says, so in other words, be more clandestine with your husband. Don't walk back home through the city in order to get to your husband, but rather you and your husband should go off privately to the bank of a river. Ikad amar, amalei tigalila chavrusech. The Gemara has a slightly different version of what Rav Yochanan's advice was to this woman. Tell your friends, meaning everyone's so jealous of you. So how about this? How about just turn the whole situation around to your advantage? Tell your friends exactly what you're going through. Meaning, as they were jealous about you because you and your husband seemed to be getting along exceedingly well. Well, if you tell them, you know, every time I go to the mikvah, I start bleeding again. And so my husband and I are not together. And so tell them that, and then they're going to have rachmanos on you. And they're going to daven for you. So that's another version of what Rav Yochanan said. V'igadam, amalah, galila chavetech, yehechi dilabal alech rachamim. Or a third version, which is not really that much different than the second version, tell your friends so that they can pray on your behalf. Detanya, and how do we know that this is effective? Well, we know that praying is effective. But how do we know that this is a strategy in which you go ahead, tell your friends your problems, and so that they can pray on your behalf? So the Gemara says, it's precedented in the Torah. V'tamei tamei yikra. With the Mitzorah, the Torah says, it's tamei tamei. Now tamei tamei is not just the state of being, but the way the Gemara understands it over here is, that's his mantra. He tells people he's tamei, meaning, it's funny, he's a Mitzorah, so that means he's outside the city. He's not really with people. But in other words, but as he's passing by certain people, he says, by the way, you should know I'm a Mitzorah. Meaning, share with people your problems. Tami tami yikra tzarech laudia tzaro l'rabim, v'rabim mevakshim alav rachamim. So, if you share your pain with other people, so that's good, because then they're gonna daven, and they're gonna think, oh my gosh, my friend just has this issue, and I'm gonna pray on his behalf. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef hava uvda bepumbadisa v'itzim. Rav Yosef gives one final testimonial, which is, there was this situation in Pumbadisa. I'm not really sure what he's referring to. Presumably he's referring to the last thing we just talked about, which is the woman who was bleeding right after she went to the mikvah. And we did exactly as advised, although the Gemara just gave three different pieces of advice in terms of what to do. But basically, whatever the solution was, it worked. The woman was healed. Okay. Adkan, this is now a good place to pause. I'm not going to stop, I mean, obviously. But in other words, before we go on to the Gemara, what is coming up in the Gemara right now is extraordinarily fundamental. It really, I'm going to use a word which you can't quote me out of context, but it modernizes the whole institution of Nida. Modernizes is not the right word, but you'll understand what I mean as I explain. Okay. We have now spent an entire Masechta. This is Daf Samech Vav. It should be on Daf Samech Zayin. Okay, but we're already Daf Samech Vav. So that means 66 pages now of Masechta Nida, and it's complex, right? Can we say that? Meaning certain parts of it were extraordinarily complex, but the whole matter is complex. Because essentially what we've done for a woman is we basically set a woman on a schedule, and it's based on the 7-Eleven Nida Ziva schedule, where for the first 7 days a woman's a Nida, and then for the next 11 days, no expectation of blood. And if she bleeds, it's Dam Ziva. And they're fundamentally different. Dam Nida and Dam Ziva are so different, meaning they're not different in actual discharge, but they're different in terms of halacha. A woman's a Nida, she's a Nida for 7 days, with or without bleeding. She tovels at the end of the seventh day, meaning the evening, and she's mutter to her husband right there and then. And it doesn't matter during her Yemei Nida whether she bleeds 1 day, 2 days, eight days. That's wrong. 7 days, it doesn't matter. Meaning she bleeds, 7 days are over, she's finished being a Nida. Yemei Ziva, on the other hand, we know is fundamentally different. A woman bleeds during her Yemei Ziva, so 1 day, she's a Zava Katana. 2 days, she's a Zava Katana. Under both situations, she has to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. She has to take one more day of guarding, meaning the day after she bleeds, in which she's not allowed to be with her husband, she'll tovel during the day, and that night she could be with her husband. If she bleeds 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva, Okay, now we're in a different story. Now it's a Zava Gedola. And now she has to count Shiva Nikim, she has to count 7 clean days. At the conclusion of 7 clean days, she tovels in the mikvah, to be factually correct. She can tovel on the 7th day itself of her Shiva Nikim. That night she can be back with her husband. The next day, as a Zava Gedola, she'll bring karbanos to the base of Mikdash. I know I'm going quickly, but this is information that we've seen already time and again. And so now it's important for a woman to know when she's an Ida, when she's a Zava. And it's not that simple. Plus, on top of that, from the very beginning of the Masechta, we already learned together, it's Machlokas Rishonim, exactly how to calculate 7-11. The Rambam's of the opinion that it's a constant cycle, 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. Difficult position of the Rambam. I pointed out Rabbeinu Hananel agrees with the Rambam, but most Rishonim disagree. Meaning it's 7-11, and then after 11, it's the next time she bleeds after that, where she resumes her status of being an Ida. All that being said, There's a healthy amount of complexity in the world of Nida and a woman being a Nida. And so now what we're about to enter now is the stringencies that were imposed by the rabbis some point after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to start with Rebbe, and Rebbe is two generations after the destruction of the Temple. So I can't tell you exactly when these Chumras began, but I can put it somewhere around the destruction of the Second Temple. Could have been earlier. Could be. So we'll start off with the following. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Okay, so the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Hitkin Rebbe Bisados. Now Rebbe instituted the following. Now the word Sados means fields. In this context, and Rashi says it. Yeah. Rashi says it's the name of a city. Makom shein b'nei Torah ve'inam yodim limnos pesach nidos masayhen yimei nida masayhen yimei zov. Okay, he went to this town that was really, they weren't that educated. And so, they didn't know when are their wives a nida, when are their wives a ziva. The women didn't know when they're a nida, when they're a ziva. So in other words, there was a lot of just lack of information. So he said like this, I'm going to do it so it's nice and simple. Rasa yom echan. If a woman were to see blood for one day, so teshev shi shavahu. So that day plus another 6, and then you can go back to your husband. Okay? And that way you covered it all. Meaning, is she an Ida? Well, she is. Perfect. Meaning, let's call this day one of her Yemei Nida. You know, it's 6 more days. She'll tovel in the mikvah the night following. She'll be with her husband. What if it's during her Yemei Ziva? Well, she doesn't need to wait another 6 days, but if she counts another 6 clean days, anyway, she'll be permitted to her husband. So in other ways, it's a chumrah, which basically will cover whether she's a nida or she's a ziva. Shnayim, if she, let's say, bled on 2 consecutive days, shishavein, 6 and it. Meaning 6 days plus that day she bled. Meaning, on 2 days of bleeding, what's a worst case scenario that we can conceive of? Well, day 1 is her 11th day of her Yemei Ziva. I'm giving you the worst case scenario. Day 1 is the 11th day of her Ziva. Day 2 is the first day of her Nida. And so now, that's the worst case scenario. So now, 6 more days. We'll call it Yemei Nida, although we don't know, but it's a possibility. And so then she'll tovel on the mikvah, and then she'll be with her husband. Shlosha. What if she bled on 3 consecutive days? So now, it could be during her Yemei Nida, it could be during her Yemei Ziva. But if it were Yemei Ziva, that would be worse, because then she has to count Shiva Nikim. Teshav Shiva Nikim. So Rabbi says, so now you'll just simply sit your Shiva Nikim. Okay. So we have now level 1 of the Chomer Derabanan, of the rabbinic stringencies, and it's simply because women do not know whether they're during your Yemei Nida or Yemei Ziva. So level number 1 is, for 1 day or 2 days of bleeding, simply wait 6 days and then go back to your husband. Obviously, you have to tovel the mikvah. For 3 days of bleeding, count Shiv and Akim, and then go back to your husband. Okay? This is Takanas Rebbe. And then we move on. I'm a Rebbe Zera, Benos Yisrael, Echmir Latzmam, Shafil Rosti, Pasdam, Kechardal, Yoshva Salah Shiva, Nikim. And then we have the classic halacha of Rebbe Zera, Benos Yisrael, Echmir Latzmam. It's interesting. The way he phrases it, it sounds like it's a takana de rabbanan, it's rabbinic legislation, but so to say, it was like grassroots, meaning it was like started by the women, and then the chachamim saw, and they accepted, adopted, ratified, right, whatever the correct terminology is. So Benoit Yisrael Hechmir Al Atzman, the women took it upon themselves, that even if they see Tipas Dam Kachardal, one drop of blood, the size of a mustard seed, it's an extraordinarily small drop of blood, Yoshua Salah Shivnakim, they count Shivnakim. Okay? And so that leads us to today. And I say today, I don't mean just simply the end of July in the year 2012. I mean for the past, whatever, Rebbe Zera was an Amora, let's say the past 1700 years, approximately. That what we do basically is that when a woman bleeds, regardless of quantity, it could even be the smallest amount. Obviously, we're talking about one day of bleeding. And we're talking even less than one day of bleeding. We're talking about just the smallest amount. So in the event that a woman bleeds, so she will treat it like she's a Zava Gedola. Now you understand that's a major chumrah. Because to be a Zava Gedola, a woman has to bleed on three consecutive days. That's the only way they can arrive at that. So how do you... It's hard for me to put into words and clearly explain how this becomes now, how you can even say that she's a Zava Gedola. So, okay, it's a chumrah, obviously. And it's a chumrah that is beyond the normal parameters of what a Zava Gedola is, fine. So the Gemara later on will call it a minhag. But minhag over here doesn't just simply mean... minhag over here, it's a strong minhag. Not every minhag is the same. Right? And some minhagim are, you know, whatever. My good friend, Rabbi Flug, spoke about a year ago, about different levels of minhagim. But this is minhag meaning accepted, adopted practice.
Well, the way it's phrased is like, as soon as girls got together and decided...
I made the same observation. It seems like it's grassroots. Right? It seems like it started, the whole thing was started with the women, but obviously though, this is, in other words, Rabbi Zera is saying it's accepted as rabbinic...
Did have like a status of a neder that was confirmed by their
father? Yeah, correct. Or? I don't know the correct phraseology. In other words, I'm also somewhat at a loss in terms of how to correctly say it, but we'll say it's a takana de rabbanon, even though correct. I agree with you. Your observation's correct. It seems like it was grassroots. Now, so again, so it's not a problem. It's just an observation. It with one drop of blood, you're not going to become a Zava Gedola. It's impossible, but Hechmir Latzman, that's what's called the Chumrah. So therefore, it was established that they're going to have to count Shiv and Akim. Now, this is not halachic class. This is Daf Yomi. So now is not the time. But the reason why, in other words, a woman bleeds, so she doesn't start counting Shiv and Akim immediately after bleeding. But that's a technical issue, because it's possible that she had relations with her husband right before she started bleeding, and so that means that she is poleta shechva zera, she is discharging zera, and we know that she can't count shiv and akim as the zera is coming out of her. How long does the zera become potent? So 3 days, a fourth day, Ashkenazim add a fifth day, Sephardim do as well? Alright, I don't remember offhand. Ashkenazim add a fifth day, so in other words, the shiv and akim is not counted until 5 days after she started bleeding, and anyway, most of the time the woman is bleeding anyway for 4 or 5, maybe even 6 days. So,
how come that's not a gezerah on top of another gezerah?
Well, in other words, that's a technical issue. That's not a gezerah, meaning you can't, this is not subject to a chumrah. You can't count Shiv Nikim until she finishes Paleta Shechva Zera, until she finishes the discharge. That's not a chumrah. That's a straightforward halacha, so that's just a technical issue. Okay, Adabi Rav Rav Shmuel V'Darish. So the Gemara, okay, that's Rabbi Zera, and that really shapes the modern Nida. Meaning nowadays, a woman bleeds, and there is no longer any factoring of am I a Nida, am I a Ziva, what days am I in? Am I 7 days? Am I 11 days? In other words, it's information, it's important information, but we just simply don't play it as a factor, and we just simply say, Shiv Nikim, you count Shiv Nikim. And the Chumrah of Rebbe was slightly more modified. But we don't operate with the Chumrah Rebbe, we operate with the Chumrah Rebbe Zera, so therefore every Tipas Dam, treated like Zava Gedola, and therefore required to count Shiv Nikim.
So does that mean that if they were to go around, they would actually have to bring a Korban because
Yeah, so as I'm saying, you see, that's why I think, and this is my speculation, so operate cautiously with my speculation. But that's why I think that all this started after the Chorban HaBayis. Because during the Chorban HaBayis, you want to know, do I have to bring a carbon? Do I not have to bring a carbon? Once the temple is destroyed and no carbon no longer plays a role, so then it's just a question of Labala. Right, how she is towards her husband.
If the Beit HaMikdash was around, they would not be able to do that because they would have to know when there's...
Correct. Which is why I wildly speculate that all this really started after the Chorban HaBayis. Okay. Adabi Rav L'Rav Shmuel V'darish Kashta Shnayamim L'Shushi Yipila Teishiv Shiv V'Nikiyim. So, the a woman is going through labor. Now remember, labor bleeding... is not Zava bleeding, right? We had this discussion earlier in the Masechta that if it's real labor bleeding, so then it will not count towards her Yemei Ziva. Just simply doesn't. So it could count as Yemei Nida, but okay, that's true, but leave that out of the discussion. So the woman is bleeding now 2 days. And then Shlishi, on the third day, she is Mapil. She unfortunately has a miscarriage, Rechon Slan. Teshev Shiv Nakim. So she has to count 7 clean days. Now, Kasavrin Kishul and the following. Now, first of all, we had this discussion earlier in the Masechta. We only call it labor bleeding if it results in a viable fetus, in a viable baby. However, if it's a nafel, so therefore we look back at the labor bleeding and we simply do not call that, in terms of this halacha, we do not call that labor bleeding, so ain't Kishul and the following. So in other words, so basically now that is already 2 days of Ziva bleeding. Plus, on top of that, something came out of her, right? It was a miscarriage. So in other words, she opened up, her cervix opened up. And we had this debate many times now throughout the Masechta. There is no psichas akever, there is no opening of the cervix without blood coming out. So in other words, what we now have are 2 days going into her delivery. She then unfortunately has a miscarriage, but that means that she opened up. So now that is 3 consecutive days of bleeding, and so therefore she has to count Shiv and Akim. So Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava Ma'ir Kashtas L'Shnei Yamim V'Afilo Mashu Ba'ama. So the Gemara says, I get you, I understand all that, but allow me to present the following, and it's a simple issue, which is, you don't need 3 days. Meaning, as we already established, the halacha is, according to Rabbi Zera, that a woman does not... A woman just simply with one tipa needs to count Shiv and Akim. Good. So in other words, we have Rabbi Zera. So once we have Rabbi Zera, so then you don't need all this thinking about 2 days going into the labor, finally the labor, then the delivery. In other words, all that's not necessary. So Amalei Aminalach Yisur V'Atamach Minhaga. Look. I'm going according to the strict letter of the law. Meaning, I'm discussing halacha right now. You're discussing Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera is a minhag. So, hecha da achmer, achmer, hecha da lo achmer, lo achmer. But remember, we're talking about during the time of the Amorayim. Those communities that were machmer. Those communities that weren't machmer. So, in other words, you're asking me from Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera is not a halacha, it's a minhag. Now, again, I caution. It's an accepted minhag. It's a strong minhag. It's minhag Yisroel. But it's a minhag. So you can't ask me from a minhag because I'm discussing fundamental halacha. Okay, skip the parentheses. Amarava tevuli nasiv nispaisa srichi shiteshev shiva nikiyim. We discussed this halacha earlier in the Masechta one time. We're going to discuss it here one more time. A woman is propositioned to get married. It's an exciting day. A joyous day. So the Gemara says, srichi shiteshev shiva nikiyim. So she has to count shiva nikiyim. Now why? So the Gemara here doesn't really articulate well. We discussed earlier. So the excitement probably brings about some sort of discharge. So therefore, she needs to count Shiv Nikim because she had a discharge. And this is coupled with the Minhag of Rebbe Zera? Possibly. How do we refer this earlier in the Masechta? What was it, Daf Zion? I'm supposed to remember these things. Okay, no, not Daf Zion. All right, you remember?
I remember it's not.
That's excellent. You tell me what it's not. Now, can you tell me what it is?
No.
Okay. All right, I too don't remember. All right. Anyway, so what the Gemara referred to earlier is Dam Chimud. Okay. So that is fine. So Amar Rav Tavuli Nasev Nispais Tzricha Shetesha Shiv Nekim. Ravina Yasek Lelebrei De Rav Chanina. Ravina was making a chasna for his son. And the son was marrying the daughter of Rav Chanina. Amalei Savalei Mar Lemichtav Ksuva La'arba Yom. Okay, or Liyom Arba. Right, another girsa, somewhat smoother girsa. So in other words, after the proposal was being of the marriage. Now remember, back in the good old days, which, by the way, wasn't that long ago, so the proposed marriage was proposed by the parents. Okay? And then the kids just simply bought in. And so, after the proposition was made, so they said, let's make the chas now 4 days from now. All right. The invitations are not going to get to the... Yeah, they're correct. They emailed everybody. I didn't think about that. Okay, so 4 days. Let's make the chasna 4 days from now. Okay, remember the Gemara in Ksuvos that said that you need 3 days of preparation for a marriage. It takes 3 days to get everything together, the food, the caterer, all that. So he put one extra day. Okay, fine. So we'll make the marriage 4 days from now. Amarle in, so there was an agreement. Okay, so that was their tanayim. So they agreed 4 days from now is going to be the chasna. So now when they got 4 days, so Ravina says, you know what? Let's wait another 4 more days. Okay, yeah, is that good? Okay, and I guess he talks to the audience, the crowd that attended. Can we make it 4 days from now? Okay, great. Imagine Stuart, you and I attend the Siyam HaShas, and they say, yeah, you know what? 4 days from now. Perfect. No problem at all. So, Akiv Shiva Yoma Basaru Yoma Amalei Mai Hai. So, and then after 4 more days, so, right, 1 more day, and he says, okay, what's going on? What's with the delay tactics over here? Amalei Lo Savala Mar Lahad Ravad Amar Ravad Tavuli Nasiv Nispais Tzricha Leishiv Shiva Nikim. So, well, I'm just worried about what Rava said. Rava said that after the proposition of marriage has been made, so there is an excitement, there's Dam Chimur, and there needs to be Shiv Nikim, there needs to be 7 clean days. Now, I don't understand from the Gemara, why wasn't Ravina clear about this from the beginning? Why did he originally agree to make the wedding 4 days from now, and then put in a delay tactic? I don't fully understand that. I'm a little bit confused about the strategy. Okay? And I'm admitting that. But be that as it may, so Ravina says to Rav Chanina, this is what concerns me, and that's why I delayed. So So he says to him, okay, but that's talking about, Rava was talking about a woman who's a gedola. He didn't mean that by a katana, did he? So Amalei, beferish Amar Rava, lo shna gedola, lo shna katana. So Ravina says that you're not correct, you're not accurate. Ravina said it, sorry. Rava said it always. Rava said it for a girl who's getting married as a katana, as he did by a gedola. Lo shna katana, lo shna gedola, time amaysh mishum de mechamda. Ketana nami mechamda. This is dam chimud. I'm sorry, our Gemara uses the same terminology. This is dam chimud. And excitement is true both by a woman who's older, as is by a woman who's younger. So it is dam chimud. That's the end of the discussion. So I was right in waiting 7 days. Again, I don't know why the strategy of, let's say, 4, and after 4 days, okay, let's push it off another 4. I don't understand that strategy. But still, he was worried about Rava, and that's why. And this leads us now to the upcoming Gemara. Meaning now that we set over the halacha of Rava of Dam Chimud, now it's going to be, for the rest of today's daf, and hopefully with tomorrow as well, we're going to get into halachas established by Rava. Not established, but set over by Rava. Amar Rava. Isha, lo sachof lo benahar velo, I'm sorry, lo ben neser, sorry, lo ben neser velo bechol. Okay, when a woman is washing herself, before going to the mikvah, she needs to wash herself. The reason why she needs to do that is to make sure that all foreign substances are off her body, so that when she goes into the mikvah, she goes without a chatzitza, anything interrupting or separating the water and her body. And so therefore, there are many halachas regarding the proper way that a woman needs to wash herself, and Rava over here offers us the following. A woman should not wash herself lo sachof lo benesav lo bechol. So don't use as a soap neither neser or chol. Now neser translates into some harsh mineral that was used back in the good old days. I have in my notes natron. I don't even know what that is. Okay, that's perfect. And velo bechol, and don't use sand as well. Benesu mishum dekametafe demekatafeth. The neser is problematic because what happens is that it's really rough. It basically pulls out hairs, and so now what's going to happen is that the woman's going to tovel in the mikvah, and she simply will have hairs not connected to her body on her body, and that will serve as a chatzitza. Chol, the problem with sand is very simple, mishum demasrich, because she rubs her body with sand, and even though she's using the sand as a way of cleaning herself, but the sand clings to her body, and the sand will also serve as a chatzitza. Okay. Halacha of Rava. Another halacha by Rava. Amra me mishmen de Rava, the Gemara quotes the name of Rava, Yishalosachov, Ella bechamen, avalobitzonein, when washing, so a woman should bathe in hot water, not cold water. Right? It's apropos for the time that we're in, the Shavuot Shechabo, the week of Tisha B'Av, where it's a form of a velus that we're in right now. And so therefore, Aliba, according to the strict letter of the law, so you should bathe in cold water, not in hot water. I know it's not enjoyable to take a cold shower, but that's the strict letter of the law. And on Erev Shabbos, the Gemara says that you should bathe specifically in hot water. And over here, the Gemara is telling us that the woman who is about to prepare herself for the Tefillas HaMikvah, she should bathe herself in hot water, not in cold water. Now, it doesn't matter how the water is heated. In other areas of halacha, it does make a difference how the water is heated. By Shabbos, it makes a difference whether water is heated by the sun or water is heated by fire. Okay, not for now. But in other words, in other areas of halacha, it matters. In this area of halacha, meaning how the water was heated so that she now bathed herself in hot water, it doesn't matter. Even if it's heated by the sun, that's fine. So in my time, Allah Mishum Dekri Rei, Umashu Mazia. The cold water is cold. I know that sounds a little bit redundant. It's cold, and Mashve Mazia, Mashu Mazia, and her hair is going to fall out on account of that, similar to what we discussed up above. And then the hair is going to be on her body, and the hair is not connected to her body, and that serves as a chatzitza. Make sure you tell your family, specifically the women of the family, when they bathe, they should bathe not just the body that is exposed, but also folds within the body as well. Meaning, even though the folds within the body won't necessarily come into contact with the water, but those areas should be cleaned out. Now, Mezve, the Gemara says, now I don't understand because Besa Kematim or Besa Star Menem Sricham Labias Mayim. Now, when you tovel in the mikvah, you don't have to make sure that those areas get into contact with water. Meaning, you don't have to open up folds within your body in order to make sure that water goes in. So, the Gemara is bothered. So, it's a simple question. It's a very straightforward question. When I tovel in the mikvah, so the water doesn't have to come onto those areas of the body. I don't have to actually make contact. So, why do I need to clean those areas of the body? Right? Good question. But the Gemara gives now a very fundamental principle. We've seen this principle a number of times. Nehi, the bias mayim lo be'inan, makam haroi lo bias mayim be'inan. It doesn't need to come into contact with the water, but needs potential. Kid Rebbe Zera. This is based on the halacha by Rebbe Zera. Right? If I would have a sponsor for today's daf, it would be Rebbe Zera. Actually, it would be Rava and Rebbe Zera. But this is now big concept of Rebbe Zera. I'm Rebbe Zera. Call a royal bila ain bila ma'akevis bo. V'shein royal bila ma'akevis bo. When you know when you're preparing your mincha, it has to be made up of oil and flour. And the Torah describes many times, time over again, it has to be belula b'shemen. It has to be that when you have your mincha, the oil and the flour have to be mixed together. And Rebbe Zera tells us, well, it doesn't actually have to be mixed together. It has to at least potentially be mixed together. Meaning, as the Gemara Menachos explains, and Rashi over here quotes, if let's say you have so much flour and only a little bit of oil and it won't blend together, you do not have a kasher mincha. The shear is 60 sa'as of flour to one sa'a of oil. That's no good. I'm sorry, more than 60. So that's no good. That won't blend together. Do you actually have to blend it together? No. All you need is just simply potential. Okay, take a look at Tosfos over here. I'm not going to go through it right now. How does he know this? Meaning, it's a big concept by Rebbe Zera. He doesn't cite a pasuk. He doesn't cite a drasha. He just says it. So how does he know it? So take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos attempts to give us a source for Rebbe Zera. Okay, so in other words, so the same thing by a woman. So by a woman, the folds in her body, right? Folds in her body don't need water to actually come into contact with it, but it has to be potential. So in other words, there cannot be a chatzitza even within folds of the body. Amar Avin Baravad, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Maitza B'Shivcha, Sosho Rebbe Shetavla, a Shivcha of Rebbe, a maidservant to Rebbe. Rebbe was extraordinarily wealthy, and he had maidservants. And even though they are a Shivcha Kananis, but they're chayav in mitzvos, and they have to tov on the mikvah. So chayav in mitzvos like a Jewish woman would be. The altav nimtza bo etzem chotzis ben shinaha, and she found a little bone stuck in her teeth. In other words, she didn't clean her teeth well. She didn't floss. And vehitzrichu Rebbe tefillah acheres, and Rebbe says, you got to go back, you got to tov on the mikvah again. Now, a woman, or for that matter, a man, but right now, tefillah by woman is more common, more prevalent, so you don't need to open up your mouth and have the water go into your mouth. In fact, I would say most people would not be interested in doing that, understandably, but you don't need to do that, but you need potential. You need ra'oi. So over here, because she had a bone stuck in her teeth, and because it did not even have the potential of the water to enter into her mouth and to cover and for it to come into contact with her mouth, so therefore Rebbe says, you got to floss your teeth and you got to go back and tovel again. Amar Rava, another halacha by Rava. Tovel v'al tovel imshala davar chotzeitz. Im samuch l'chafifa tfila, einu tzricha l'chof l'tvol. V'im lav tzricha Lachof v'litval. A woman tovels in the mikvah. Now, she thought she cleaned herself well. She thought she did a good preparation for the mikvah. And now, after walking out from the mikvah, she finds a stain on her body, some foreign object on her body, and she does not know. Was it here before I went into the mikvah? Or maybe it clung to me after I toveled in the mikvah? So Rava gives us a very basic rule. Well, if she did the chafifa, if she did the prep right before going to the mikvah, she's safe. In other words, now, the higher probability is that this item came on her body after she tov on the mikvah. However, if it's been some time between doing the chafifa and toveling in the mikvah, so now you can make, there's a good chance that the item came on her body before having toveled in the mikvah. Good. Ika de Amre, the Gemara, gives a slightly different version of this halacha, but the same basic point. In Bosa Yom Shechafa Tavlan Tzrich Lachov V'Litval V'im Lav Tzrich Lachov V'Litval. So if she did a chafifa sometime that day, and then she tovel that night, she's fine. If she did a chafifa earlier than today, so then she's going to have to tovel again. May be now Yikabenei L'Mitzmach L'Chafifa Tefila L'Meichaf B'Yamama U'Lemitbal B'Layla. Now, there's a subtle difference between the two versions of what we said, even though they are very similar to one another, but there's going to be a practical difference. Meaning that according to the first approach, really the best thing for a woman would be to do the prep immediately before toveling in the mikvah. Whereas opposed to, according to the second version, doesn't have to be immediate, it just has to be simply on that same day where she plans on toveling in the mikvah. Obviously, again, beyond the purview of our daf, but there are going to be times where a woman simply cannot do the chafifa right before she tovels in the mikvah. Let's say she tovels on a Motzei Shabbos, right? It's going to be hard for her to do all that prep. She can do some of the prep on Friday, and then she'll tovel in the mikvah. Again, not for now. I'm not the person. But in other words, but the from the Gemara, however, what we walk away with is that the best thing to do is to do the chafifa immediately before toveling in the mikvah. Amar Avisha lo samar agabe klei cheres v'titvol. A woman shouldn't stand on klei cheres, meaning, let's say, she's toveling and she doesn't want to step on the floor of the mikvah. It's disgusting to her. I'm not making an objective statement. Okay, to her, it's just nasty. So now what? So now she'll stand on klei cheres. So Rava says, no, don't do it. Isha lo samor agabe klei cheres. A woman should not stand on klei cheres. V'tidbol. Now, sevakar av ravkan alamim atayim amay mishum gzeres merchatzaos. Why not? What's behind Rava? So the Gemara makes the following suggestion. Well, maybe it's a gzera because of bathhouses. Meaning, A woman's going to be standing on earthenware jars and toveling in the mikvah, and she'll say to herself, you know, this kind of feels like a bathhouse right now. Maybe there's no difference between toveling in this versus in the bathhouse. And the bathhouse is better cleaned and better attended, and you know what, next time I'm going to tovel in the bathhouse. And so maybe what Rava was worried about is a gzeira d'rabban, and a rabbinic decree, that if you stand on klei cheres, she'll confuse this with a bathhouse. The Gemara says, "Hal gabi selso shabir dami," which means that if she stands on something which is not normally what is used in the bathhouse, which would be silsa, beams of wood, so then that would be fine. That would be no problem whatsoever. Meaning, this is what the Gemara proposes, is what the concern of Rava was. So, Amalei Rav Chanan Minah Hada, sometime amai mishum debayes. The Gemara says, nope, he misunderstood. That's not what's bothering Rava. What's bothering Rava is fear. Meaning, if she's balancing herself on klei cheres, that means that when she tovels in the mikvah, she doesn't have a firm footing on the ground. It means that she's afraid. It means that basically she wants to go in, she wants to come straight out. And she won't have a proper tefillah in the mikvah where she will immerse her entire body in the water. And so, that means that if she's standing on anything which is not sturdy and is slightly unstable, will have the same concern as well. And so it does not matter what she's standing on. As long as she's standing on something unstable, Rava says that's no good for fear that she may not do a proper tefillah. I'm Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Isha lo titbal ben amal. A woman should not tovel at the port. So in other words, don't go to the pier. We have plenty of those around here in our South Florida community. And she shouldn't tovel in the pier. Afagav de hashtaleka emar bar yune nafal. Now, what's the pshat over here? So Rashi over here offers an interesting pshat. Rashi says that there's a lot of dirt and a lot of mud over at the pier. And therefore, if she tovels by the pier, she's going to get mud stuck to her body, and as she's going down, and it will not be a good tefillah. Another pshat, really a simpler pshat, could be that if you go to the pier, she's afraid that it's populated, there are people there, she's going to be embarrassed, and she will not do a proper tefillah. Avu d'shmol avad levinte, I'm sorry, labante mikvos biyomenisa. Now the father of Shmuel did the following. For his daughters, it depended what season it was. If it was Tishrei, okay, let me start with Nisan. If it was the month of Nisan, so what's Nisan? Let's get this straight. Nisan is the spring. Now the spring just followed the rainy season in Israel. Or for that matter, in Bavel. Let's assume Shmuel's out in Bavel. But that's the rainy season. In other words, you just went through the months of January, February, and March, and that's when it rained. And being that that's when it rained, so Shmuel said, my daughters cannot tovel in the rivers during that time for reasons which I'm about to explain. And so therefore what he did during those months is he actually prepared a mikvah, dug a little hole in the ground, allowed the rainwater to accumulate, and he allowed his daughters then, not allowed, told his daughters that they have to tovel in a classic mikvah. Biyom Nisan, I'm sorry, that is in the months of Nisan. And Umavse Biyom Tishrei. Now, when we get to Tishrei, what's Tishrei? Tishrei is the end of the summer, beginning of the fall. Okay, it hasn't been raining for some time. And there, what he did is he prepared mats so that when his daughters toveled in the river, they would be able to stand on top of the mats. Now, I know we learned just a moment ago. Yes, that's correct. This Gemara has come up a couple of times throughout Shas. Now, it's true that we had just a couple of moments ago that a woman is not allowed to stand on something which is unstable, but this is fine. These are mats. And it's not an unstable. It's just simply he created a floor for the river so that they could stand on top of the mats. Now, each one of these points allow me now to explain. Okay, what's wrong with the river during the spring? So Rashi explains for the following reason. And here you're going to get now a crash course. Really, a crash course in mikvahs. Okay, this is the basic information you need to know. You can tovel in a collected body of water, that's called a mikvah. You can tovel in running spring water or a running river, and that's what we're going to call now a ma'ayan, a wellspring. Okay, and both of those will work. However, they operate fundamentally differently than one another. A mikvah is collected rainwater, water coming from the sky, collected into a pool of water, into some sort of, it could be anything really, but in other words, it's collected in the ground. It could be above ground, but in other words, that's what's called the mikvah. That water, in order to be, for it to be an effective tefillah, has to be stationary. What the Gemara calls elsewhere ashbaren, it has to be stationary water. That water cannot be in movement. If that water were in movement at the time, now I understand that when you go in, it's going to create a little bit of ripple effect. I do understand that. When I say movement, I mean that it's flowing. It cannot flow. It has to be stationary. That is part of the definition of a mikvah. As opposed to a river by its very definition, and for that matter, spring water as well, it flows. That's what's called zochlin. Water that flows is a mayan. It can flow. In fact, part of its very definition, part of its very nature is that it flows. And so here's the story. At the beginning of spring, so now it's been raining over the course of the winter, January, February, March, it's been raining. And so now I'm crossing the English and Hebrew months, but it's basically the same idea. In the beginning of the spring, now what do you have? You have rain coming down over the entire winter, and now what you have is a river that's really a combination of natural spring water and rainwater. And what Shmuel was worried about is that what is that water's composite? Is it mostly rainwater or is it mostly spring water? You see, if it were spring water, that'd be fine. Then it could be moving, running spring water. But if it's rainwater, that creates a problem because rainwater by definition has to be stationary. And so for fear of not knowing what the river is, so Shmuel says, I'm going to construct a mikvah for my daughters during those months where I'm going to basically dig a hole, allow rainwater to collect, and my daughters will tovel there.
Didn't we learn the idea that, I think it was Abu Dazar, when you're like mixing wine, if one drop gets mixed...
Kama, batil.
Right. So if one dry raindrop gets into the river, it should be right. Bittul by the river. So what's
It's a fair question. I have a recollection of somebody asking this. Okay? It's a fair question. I don't have an answer offhand. Okay, and now what about the end of summer? Well, the end of summer, it hasn't been raining. Meaning for those of you who experienced Israel during the summer, it doesn't rain. Period. Right? It's easy to be the weatherman in Israel in June, in July, in August, September. It's so easy. I could do it. Okay, so it's going to be hot and no rain. No precipitation. So now, the rivers that are flowing, it's just mayan. It's just spring water. And so there's no concern, zero concern that water has any type of rainwater mixed in. And so he says to his daughters, you want to go in the rivers, that's fine. And the only thing that they didn't want is they didn't want to step on the bed floor of the river. It's dirty, it's disgusting. And furthermore, Avuah Shmuel was also concerned that there'd be clumps of dirt getting stuck to the feet of his daughters, which would be a chatzitza. And so therefore what he did is he created a mat so that they could stand on top of the mat and therefore avoid the issue of chatzitza. Okay? And let's do one more and we'll finish up for today. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav. And by the way, what I told you is basically a synopsis of the Rashi. If you'd like to see what I said in print, so you could take a look at Rashi and go through Rashi inside, and I basically gave you a synopsis. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav. Natavshel Levena Vatavla Vatalo Altala Tvila. So, sorry. Okay. Yeah, she's preparing some sort of sticky food. I'm sorry. So not Natasha Levena. Levena? Or was it Levana? I'm not really sure. So Vitava Valta Lo Alta Latvila Afagav Dehashaleka Emer Berduni Nafal. Okay? Some sort of sticky food that she was making. Let's say she was making dough, and you know how the dough gets sticky to her fingers. And she told us in the mikvah that's going to be a problem. Even if after she told us in the mikvah, she looks, she sees she's fine, it's no good. We're worried that the sticky food is going to stick to her. Okay, Amar Rami Bar Abba. Hani Ravda the kuslisa. Now, what if she bloodlet? Which means that she's going to have a wound right before going into the mikvah. So, atal siyom alo chaitze. Now, for the first 3 days, it'll be fine. If for the first 3 days, the wound is so raw and so fresh, it's like considered part of her body. Mikan ve'elech chaitze. But from that point forward, it actually will be a chatzitza. Now, what exactly does that mean? Meaning she has to peel off the scab. Hard to understand exactly how she would deal with a scab on her body that like that. I guess she'd have to try to wash off the exterior layer of the scab, obviously with the intent of not opening up the wound again. What about a little bit of mucus in the eye? Is that going to be a chatzitza? So Mar Ukva says it depends. If it's moist, that's fine. Right? Wet does not serve as a chatzitza. But once it's dry, it serves as a chatzitza. Emasai nikra yavish misha shemaschil liyarek. Now, when is it considered dry? When it turns either yellow or green. Okay? In other words, basically when the mucus crusts over. Amar Shmuel, kol shebesochayin ein chotzeitz. Shmuel tells us that the kol, they had some sort of ointment that they applied in the eye. That's not going to be a chatzitza. Feshah gabe ayin. However, if it's placed on top of the eye, that will be a chatzitza. Im hayu ein aporchos, afil gabe ayin and a chotzeitz. Now, if her eyes are fluttering, she's a blinker, okay? So then, even if it's on the eye itself, it's not going to be a chatzitza. I'm Rav Yochanan Paschai Na Bioser, Atzmai Na Bioser, Lo Altala Tfila. When you go into the mikvah, don't shut your eyes too tight, because then you're creating folds that don't normally exist, and that's no good. Don't open your eyes. In other words, keep your eyes just closed gently. I'm Reish Lakish. Okay, so let's pause over here. Okay, good. All right, so wonderful. Okay, today's daf is daf Samach Zayin. We're halfway through today's daf. More tefillah discussion coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to obviously finish Samach Zayin, certainly get through Samach Ches, and hopefully get a little bit into Samach Ches as well. Tomorrow we meet together here at the shul at 4:30. I assume we're going to be back in the social hall to get together for the daf yomi. If I remember, I'll tell the office to put it into the weekly as well. And then we resume again after tomorrow on Monday morning. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos and a very easy fast. Yeah.